Continuing our series on gifts, and we'll wrap it up next week. Next week we'll look at the missing gift. Today we want to look at the majestic gift. How many of you would, in your life of Christmases, can remember a specific gift or two that was just like, wow, that was the best gift I ever got? Anybody have that? Great, let me hear some. Christine, what's one?
Well, growing up, we didn't have a lot of money, so we used to go to the Salvation Army to get that, where my presents came from for a long time. And I just remember getting this coloring book with some markers. And that, to me, was more
it was a big deal. Amen. Jason? Did you raise your hand?
Yeah. Just naming like a cool gift.
Just a gift that stands out in your mind that you got?
The one for me is quite weird, but actually it was my first rifle when I was, I think it was 10 years old. And I was like, I knew I was going to get to go hunt with my dad, and then, you know, adding that, I think,
awesome.
So that's the best one right there.
Awesome. 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 Brother Dave.
Probably when I was about 8 or 9, my parents bought me a giant bucket of Legos. I had almost till I was 19. I still was in houses till I was 19 with this Lego set.
Nice.
Nicest thing they ever got.
If you still had them, Austin would pay you good money.
Nobody would get them. I still be building.
Brother Austin.
My kids all, they made a frame with all different pictures in it. But each of them got a picture of some special time that was me with them. You know, each picture had me with each kid, each one of my kids in it, and everything. And then they had a couple of different things that they wrote.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Someone else give me something. Mom, this ought to be good. The birth of your second son. No, okay.
The first Christmas with your dad, he bought me a diamond ring that I had admired, and I didn't know it paid any attention to me when I said, oh, I like that ring. And at Christmas, it was in a box, and he gave it to me, and we did not have any money. And I don't know how he paid for it, because it was a very expensive diamond ring. He had sold his rifle, and bought it for me.
That's a big deal for my dad to sell his rifle. That'd be like Glenn selling his rifle and buying a stove. Anyway!
strictly hypothetical.
You know, it was a simile. Somebody else. What was another great gift, Brother Joel? Austin, is your hand up?
I liked that I got a costume from my uncle on Ian. It was a big Captain America thing.
That's Captain America costume. Noah?
I just got a yesterday, but does that count?
Yeah, sure.
I just got a yesterday.
What was it?
It was a pair of inline skates.
Nice. 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 Anybody else want to give their... Celeste? I was going to say, isn't that the stuff you tuck in your...
Oh, my goodness. It's a hot pink, and I wasn't into pink, but I really liked it with this jewelry box. Hot pink, little fluff, silky, and it has skulls all over it, and inside it was hot pink, and I still have that jewelry box today. And on my mind analysis first Christmas, he bought this necklace that I wear, and... It kind of just reminds me, if you look at the heart, it makes a circle and has a diamond in the middle, and it just reminds me of putting our hearts together.
Neat, neat. You know, and to other people, some of these gifts may not be a big deal. You know, Christine mentioned a coloring book and crayons, and to other people, that's coloring book crayons. But at that time, to her, that was huge. Or a gun, or whatever the different gifts were. To us, a particular gift or two, we would, in our mind, we would say, you know, that's a big deal. That's a majestic gift. And yet the greatest gift ever given to mankind was truly a majestic gift.
Amen. That's right.
In the birth of Christ. So we're gonna look at a couple points today. I'm gonna try to be done in about 20 minutes. I've never done it. But I'm gonna try to be done in 20 minutes. We'll get you out of here early today. Father, again, Lord, we just thank you for the privilege of being here. Thank you for the young people. Lord, even in their nervousness, Lord, standing in front of a bunch of adults and singing. And Lord, what an opportunity, Lord. What great teaching, Lord, and lesson seeing our young people do that, Father. Just pray, Lord, that you take this message today. Challenge us, Lord, through the Word of God today. Speak to us, Lord. And Father, what a grateful gift, Lord. What a majestic gift. What a miraculous gift you gave us in your Son, Father. We are so undeserving. But Lord, you sent your Son to die on the cross for us. Father, may we be ever grateful for that. Lord, if there's someone here today that does not know you as their personal Savior, may today be the time that they put their faith and trust in you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I was doing some research, and I came across this, and it said the top eight responses to weird gifts. How many of you ever got weird gifts? You know, some that is just, I don't remember asking that. I don't remember hinting that I liked that. Brother Dave is a Vikings fan. So he's good friends with Brother Norm right now, who's decked out in a Vikings sweatshirt and a Vikings turtleneck. I remember one year we went to my grandfather's house for Christmas, and I opened up my gift, and my grandparents were very, very, very wealthy people. And I opened up my gift, and there in that box was a Minnesota Vikings sweatshirt. And I thought to myself, why in the world, are there any Minnesota Viking fans in this world today? I never wore it. Matter of fact, it's probably the one Norm's wearing right now. It's just weird gifts that just didn't make any sense. But there are the top eight responses to weird gifts. Number eight. Well, 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 now there's a gift. Number seven. No, really? I didn't know there was a Chia Pet tie. Oh, wow, it's a clip-on, too. Number six. You know, I always wanted one of these. Jog my memory, what's it called again? Number five. You know what? I'm going to find a special place to put this. Number four. Boy, you don't see craftsmanship like that every day. Number three. And it's in such an interesting color, too. Number two. You say that was the last one? Boy, am I glad you snatched that baby up. And the number one thing to say about gifts that you don't like or think are weird is this. You shouldn't have. No, really. You shouldn't have. Gifts. Amazing. I was blessed this morning to see people during Sunday school running around handing gifts out to one another. I don't know who got a key to my office, but there are gifts on my desk, and I appreciate that. You don't need a key, probably just broke in. That's fine. I appreciate the gifts that you've given to me and my family. I didn't even notice it. This just shows you how unaware I am of things. The children's class had put together, you can go down and see it right on my office door, a big wreath, and it's all their pictures on it. It's just sweet. And I'm wondering why they're all crammed into my mom's class, and I'm standing at my door unlocking it, and they're dead quiet behind me. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? Why are you so quiet? I'm unlocking the door. My mom's like, will you look on your door? Right there. Was the wreath with all the pictures on it, and that was sweet. I appreciate that. Here in Matthew chapter 2, we read about the birth of Jesus, but there's a couple things I want to draw your attention to. We'll look at a couple other verses. But there's typically, even in our society, there's different responses that people have to the birth of Christ. I got a phone call the other day. It was a telemarketer or something. And at the end of the conversation, she went, "Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays." And I said, "You can say Merry Christmas. I'm all for Merry Christmas. You can go ahead and say Merry Christmas to me." And she goes, "Thank you. I kind of like saying it that way too." And they did a survey, and actually 70% of Americans prefer to shop in a business that says Merry Christmas and not just Happy Holidays. Don't let the liberal leftist media fool you into thinking that America believes a certain way when America does not believe a certain way. There's a crowd out there, and they're the minority. There's a crowd out there that is trying to push their agenda, especially in lieu of the massacre that took place up in Connecticut. Now you hear so much talk about the gun groups and, you know, gun control and all that kind of stuff. The NRA, what's the number, Joel? 9,000 new members a day or something like that? Crazy joining the NRA, which is good. By the way, we do have that right in our Constitution. And don't let the minority offend you or push you into believing something that you know is accurate and true. But there are people that have different responses to the birth of Christ, and we're going to look at them here today as we think about the majestic gift. And in verse number 2, we'll look there first. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says, saying, talking about the wise men, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Notice again here, a lot of times people talk about the eastern star when they talk about the birth of Christ. No, they saw his star when they were in the east. So the star was actually leading them west. So a lot of traditional things that people get messed up around Christmas time. For instance, the three wise men. Is there any verse that teaches that there were three wise men? Where do we get that from? Again, we just make up our own tradition. And actually, if you look in Matthew chapter 2, if you look at any manger scenes, and churches get it wrong too. If you look at manger scenes, they have the wise men at the manger. But if you look at Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 11, look what it says. "And when they were come into the what?
House.
They saw the what? Young child." If you study that, through that passage, Jesus was already at least 2 years old when the wise men came to him. But, you know, a lot of things, people, all, you know, this, that, and the other, but it didn't even line, it's not even scriptural. There weren't three wise men. I've heard estimations of several hundred wise men that actually made the trip out to see Jesus Christ. But they saw him when he was a young child, not a newborn, in a manger. It's amazing if we would just use our Bibles, how many things we could actually correct that are taught out there. But we see something here in verse number 2. now look at verse number 3. "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." One of the responses that we see here to the birth of Christ is some worried. Some worried. Herod here worried. Herod thought he was the king of the Jews. He was the king at that time, but specifically there in verse number 2, it's worded a specific way. It says, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" See, a person is generally not born king. The son of a king is not a king. The son of a king is a prince. Jesus was born king because he was not the son of a king. He's the son of God. Amen. Therefore, he was born king. So, and don't misunderstand. Herod knew about the birth of Jesus. Herod knew what the prophecies said. Herod knew about the Old Testament and how the Jews were expecting their Messiah. He knew that. That's why Herod said, "Go find him so that I can worship him too." But the truth is, Herod didn't want to worship him. Herod wanted to kill him. Herod did not want him around. So Herod, you know, there are people today that worry about what you and I believe about Jesus Christ. I find it sad, again, if I can make reference to the shootings how we hear all these congressmen and all these people talking about pray for the families, pray for the city, pray for the town. How about letting prayer in the school?
Yeah.
How are you going to outlaw and ban prayer in school and then tell everybody to pray? Maybe if we'd be praying ahead of time and praying in the schools, things like that wouldn't happen. Not only did Herod worry, but if you look there again at verse number 3, at the end there it says, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod wasn't the only one who was troubled or worried about this, but the whole city there, Jerusalem, was worried as well. You know, it's easy to understand Herod's concern. It's not so easy to understand why would all of Jerusalem be worried at the same time. But the truth is, folks, today, outside of the church, there are people who are very troubled about believing in the birth of Jesus Christ. They don't have a problem with God, but they have a problem with Jesus Christ. So be careful when you talk to people and they say, oh yeah, yeah, I believe in God. Well, alright, how about the virgin birth, the sinless life, the vicarious death, and the physical return of his son, Jesus Christ? Oftentimes, we too worry about the lordship of Jesus Christ. Because here's the thing, if Jesus is the King, if he is the King, if he is the Lord, then that means that we have a responsibility now. That's to comply with his word. If Jesus really was born the King, and he really is our Savior, and he really is the Lord, and he really is the Creator, now all of a sudden you and I have a responsibility. See, that's the problem with those that choose to become atheists. By the way, there's no such thing as an atheist.
Right.
You can go ahead and say there's not a God, but in your heart you know there is one, and you're just refusing to acknowledge the fact, because if you acknowledge the fact that there is a God, then you now have a responsibility to your Creator. Just as much as a parent has a responsibility to, or children has a responsibility to their parents. There's a compliance that then comes in line. And the problem that arises is often we become unwilling to surrender to Him. A man once spent a long time with the Lord trying to surrender every area of his life to the Lord. As a visible expression of his yieldedness, this man took out a piece of paper and he wrote on that paper all the things that he was willing to do for God and then signed his name at the bottom of it. And then he went into an empty church building and he laid that paper on the altar expecting that that act would give him the peace that he'd been looking for. It didn't. So he went back, got out another sheet of paper and wrote out an even longer list. And added even more things that he would be willing to do for the Lord, signed his name at the bottom of it, went into that empty church building, took it up to the altar, laid it down at the altar, and said, God, these are the things I'm willing to do for you if you will just give me peace. And just like the previous time he did it, he failed to find the peace that he'd been looking for. So as he prayed then and asked God what he should do, it seemed that the Lord said to him, get out a blank sheet of paper, sign your name at the bottom of it, and put that at the altar. True surrender does not examine God's intended will for your life and consider it and then consent. True surrender yields to God's will without even knowing what that might be. Too many of us take out our paper and say, God, I'm going to do this, 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 this. How about you say, Lord, here's the paper, Lord, you tell me what you want me to do. And I'll do it. You know, God's will is not you determining what you're going to do for God. God's will is you determining that you're going to do whatever He says you're going to do. There are times, and any parent here will agree with this and understand this, where our children may want to do something, but it's not what we want them to do. And so we'll remind them, did you ask me or were you just telling me? Why? Because we're teaching them to be compliant to our will. And that is training, because in line and in lieu we're teaching our children how to become compliant to God's will. That's what God wants. And so not only was Herod troubled, but all Jerusalem was worried about it. And you know what? Oftentimes, understanding the birth of Christ and the Lord, I see it all over Facebook. Everybody complains about what the Word, more people complain about what the Word of God says than what the unsaved complain about what the Word of God says. More Christians get bent out of obeying the Word of God than the unsaved people would argue about what the Word of God says. Your opinion and my opinion and our justifying interpretation of what the Bible says is not the correct view. God said it, that settles it. Herod could be worried all he wants. The birth of Christ is going to happen. Jerusalem can be worried all it wants. Society can pull their hair out. Oh, I don't understand all you Christians and the birth of Christ and all the other kind of stuff. Hey, don't worry about it. I don't understand why atheists spend so much time trying to prove that Christ doesn't exist. If he doesn't exist, why waste your time with it? The fact that you're doing everything you can to prove that he doesn't exist just simply proves that he does exist and you can't deal with it. If I don't believe something, I don't waste my time making organizations to create something when I don't believe in it. Yet, people today fight, fuss, and feud. You can argue all you want. But the bottom line is, your disbelief or unbelief in it doesn't change the reality of it. Jesus Christ was born. Some people worried. That's a response that a lot of people have. But there's a second response. Some people wondered. Don't lose your spot here in Matthew, but go over to Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1, we find a parallel passage of scripture given by Luke's point of view. Luke chapter 1. Some worried, some also wondered. We see here, Mary wondered. Luke chapter 1 and verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Mary wondered. The birth of Christ? How exactly is this going to happen again? But not only did Mary wonder, if you go over to chapter 2 there in the book of Luke, and look at verse number 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Here's the shepherds out there on the side of the hill, taking care of their sheep. Angels pop into the sky and start talking, start singing and proclaiming the birth of Christ, and they're going, what in the world is that? You ever look at somebody and wonder if they're a male or a female? You know how frustrating that is? Because you don't know whether to say yes ma'am or yes sir, so you're just like, yeah? What's your name? And then they say something like Alice and you're still not, you know? I've done it. I pulled up to construction sites where the flagmen are, and they got the helmet on and the ripped up jeans and the vest and a cigarette hanging out of their mouth and sunglasses, and they're like, come on by. And I'm like, yes sir, I'm a woman. What? Wondering. Hear the shepherds. And don't act like you wouldn't wonder either. If you're on the side of the hill and a bunch of angels pop in the sky, you're going to be wondering what's going on too. Mary wondered. The shepherds wondered. But you know, most people today wonder about God. Life magazine did a study in which they found that there were very few true atheists and actually more agnostics today. In other words, they didn't deny the existence of God. They just wondered about it. Where is he? Who is he? What's he do? Explain him to me. Wondering about God. You know how many people wonder about God? We're living in a post-truth society.
Yes, sir.
There was a day, and some of you older folks would understand this, when you were young, people just had an understanding of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They had basic teaching. Young people today are so turned off and tuned out to anything about God and the Bible and truth. And they're taught and believe in some of the dumbest things. More people over the last couple of days were worried about December 21st.
Yep. Come on, preach that.
And the Mayan calendar. And you'd think if they were really smart that they'd still be around. You could take the Mayan calendar and hold it up next to an Oreo cookie. It's the same thing. It looks like the exact same thing. The truth is, and people were actually meeting on mountaintops.
Yeah.
Hundreds and hundreds all over the world meeting in specific locations and lining up with the stars and the sun and the moon and all this weird stuff. If you can believe that stupidity, don't tell me you can't believe in God.
That's right. Amen. Preach.
If you can believe that Halley's Comet is going to come by and at the end of the comet is a UFO, Hail Bop. I think that was started by the Hansons. Some of you will get that, some of you will have no idea. Yeah, everyone starts singing it. Those are the ones that need to get to the altar after the service. Even knowing that stuff. Most people, they wonder about God. But you know what? Not only did Mary wander, not only did the shepherds wander, not only do people that aren't saved wander, but the truth is sometimes God's people wander too. If God loves me, they'll say, why has He allowed these difficult things in my life? If God takes care of His children, then why am I having all these problems? If God loves me, then why am I dealing with these physical issues or these financial issues or these family issues that I'm dealing with? If God loves me and I read my Bible and I pray and I'm sold out to the Lord, and if God really loves me, then why aren't my children living for God? Or why isn't my spouse living for God? Or why do there seem so many issues? Why aren't my parents living for God? Some people that are even saved wonder about God. Several years ago, a music director at an independent Baptist church up in Michigan by the name of Roger Powell and his family, they left after a Wednesday night service in early December to go to Georgia. They were going down for a wedding of a family member. They'd gotten an hour and a half down the road, and that was it. Their rented van spun out of control on an icy overpass, and their 8-year-old daughter was thrown from the van and killed. A chaplain in the hospital said to them, there are some things God can't help. The chaplain said that. But He wants to help us through those things He can't help. This song leader, Brother Powell, looked at this unsaved chaplain and said to him, this was no accident. This was an appointment. God brought me to it. God will bring me through it.
Amen.
God has a reason for it. God's people don't have to wonder. We know, Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to them that love God.
Yes, sir.
I may not understand, but praise God, He understands. And what I in my finite mind may have problems with and may struggle with and may emotionally upset me for the rest of my life. Tragedies. These families up in Newtown, Connecticut, it's going to affect them for the rest of their lives. Those that even worked on the scene, it's going to affect them for the rest of their lives. One year, we had a bus kid on our bus route. Her name was Christina Carter. She was about 6 years old. She started riding the bus when she was 4. She came from a large family, about 8 of them. They all rode our church bus up in Chicago, and they were very unkempt. The parents did not care about them one bit. I mean, they were out all hours of the night. The girls would come on the bus many times, lice in their hair, hair just out of control, I mean, everywhere. But the neat thing about, not neat, but weird thing about, she never talked. Christina never talked. You could say hi to her. I love you, Christine. I'm glad you're here. She never said a word. She wouldn't sing the song. She didn't miss church. But she'd sit on the bus, and she wouldn't say a word. I mean, week after week after week after week. Then one Sunday, I noticed the sisters and the brothers got on the bus, but Christina didn't get on the bus. And I said, where's your sister? And they said, Brother Guy, the other sister took gel or hairspray or something and a lighter and lit her hair on fire. And said, she's at Cook County Hospital. And so I went up there the next day. And actually, I'm sorry, it was Thursday. Because I was working stuff. I went up there on that Thursday. So 4 days had gone by and I went up there to visit Christina. And I got to the hospital and told them, you know, I said I was a pastor. I would have pastored her. Me and a couple of my friends, Mike Ramsey and I think Jeremy Wakefield. I'm not sure if he came with us or not. But anyway, we walked up there to the burn unit. And I just figured her hair caught on fire and no big deal. But when I got up there, the lady stopped me. She said, who are you here to see? I said, Christina Carter. They said, well, this is a burn unit and she's suffered some third degree burns, some second degree burns, and you need to put the little hat thing on, booties over our feet, the robe on, the gloves, the whole nine yards. And I'll never forget, I walked in there and there was Christina just laying there. She was aware, her eyes were open. Man, I'm bawling my eyes out. And I'm sitting there looking at her and I'm like, you know, Christina, we're praying for you. We love you. We want you to get better. And we sang some bus songs, just sitting there to her, just trying to encourage her and lift her spirit. But before I had gone in there, I asked the receptionist there. Well, she had said to me when she asked who I was, and I told her, and she said, you're not a relative? I said, no. She said, not one person has come by to visit her. I said, not a mom, just nobody. She was brought in here. Nobody has been by to visit this girl. And so I went in there. We sang to her and she didn't say a word. And as I was leaving, I said, Christina, the guy's got to go now. I said, but I'm going to come back on Saturday with a bunch of the lady workers and we'll visit you again. Again, she just stares at you. And as I was leaving, she started screaming, Brother Guy, please don't go. Brother Guy, please don't go. Screaming it. Don't understand why a parent would do that. Never forget that. Don't know where she is today. That was almost 20 years ago. 18 years ago. Hoping she's still alive. But you know, there's a lot of people that wonder about God, and unfortunately, a lot of people give him reason to. We may not understand a lot of things, but God knows. God understands. God has a purpose. God has a reason. And I get a kick out of it when people blame God. Where was God? Where was God in Newtown, Connecticut? Well, I don't know. You kicked them out of the school system 40 years ago. Now you're interested in them. Where was God when the tsunami happened? Well, I don't know. Why don't you ask Allah why he didn't stop it from happening?
Good.
Some people wonder. Thirdly, some worshipped. Back in our text in Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Worship today is a word that oftentimes in churches like ours, we don't like to use the word worship. Fundamental circles. And then there's other Protestant churches that will use the word worship and they have no idea what worship even means. Then you have the charismatic and the neo-evangelical crowd that come to our praise and worship service and have a worship pastor. And what in the world do we need? The only worship leader I need is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I don't need a rock and roll band to get me to worship. That ain't worshiping Jesus. That's just satisfying and entertaining my flesh. We oftentimes equate the word worship with silent sanctuaries or sevenfold amens or songs that sound like funeral dirges played on some dead pipe organ. That's not worship, that's formalism. The word worship actually comes from two words combined that means to kiss towards. And so when we think about true Bible worship, it means to direct our affection or our love towards God. So when you sing the song, His name is wonderful, that's worship. You're directing your affection to God. And so I don't need somebody screaming on a guitar and going crazy on a drum set and with a bunch of people in a mosh pit collecting fallen refrigerators. I just need a spirit and a mindset that says, God, what I'm singing about, what I'm preaching about, what I'm listening to, what I'm praying about, what I'm fellowshipping about, Lord, it's my love directed towards You, God, for You alone are worthy. It's amazing that these men worshipped a young child. We're not talking about worshiping an adult king. We're talking about grown men that traveled thousands of miles over a 2-year period that knelt down in front of a 2-year-old and worshiped him. Some people do that. Folks, we come to church because it's an opportunity to worship God. But may I say, worship, if the only time you worship is on Sunday, then you're not truly worshiping God. You're just joining in with what the crowd's doing. But if you ever been listening to Christian music in your car and it just overwhelms you? And you just want to honor God, you just want to sing praises to God? This morning, as I was, me and Austin were cleaning Red Robins, Austin had his earbuds in, and he listens to Christian music. My children listen to Christian music. My children listen to Christian music. I'll break their MP3 player and smash their CD player and radio before they think of a place on that doesn't honor God. And it's quiet. I had my earbuds off and I was mopping on the other side of the kitchen and the manager was there and a couple of the workers were still there and Austin's over on the other side, call it squeegeeing. After I mop, he pulls all the water into the drainage holes and he's over there singing. And you could hear him just singing the songs. And I'm going, Austin. You know, let me know this. Austin. Austin. He sings like you sing when you read the songbook. You're not even looking at the words. You're just making up noises as you're going along with everybody else. I know that because I'm reading it and I'm looking at your lips and they're not matching with what the hymnal says. Don't think I don't watch you, Dave. And anybody else. Isaac does it too. We're up there singing. I'm like, what is this? Is he talking in tongues? Has he got the Spanish language now? Anyway, Brother Glenn does, and he leads singing. But Austin's over there. Singing the songs, and I'm like, Austin. And the manager, it wasn't that, but he was saying the words, and the manager walked by on the other side of the shield. That's so precious. She goes, what's he singing? I said, he's singing songs about God. And she went, oh, that's so sweet. No. But you know what he's doing while he's mopping and cleaning and stuff? He's worshiping.
Amen.
He's worshiping. He did it on the car all the way home. Dad, what's that song? He'd find it. Oh, Dad, I found it. I'm like, all right, where's my earbuds? You're killing me. Some worshipped. Some weighed. Back in Luke 2:19, it says, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. It's amazing what we allow our minds to ponder and to think about. We ought to make a conscious and determined choice to think about God. Do you think about God? Do you ponder your salvation? Are you going to take time this Christmas season to ponder the birth of our Savior? Do you realize if there was no birth of Christ, there'd be no salvation?
Right.
Do you realize if Christ wasn't born, we'd all be bound for hell? Do you realize if there was no birth of Christ, there'd be no Bible? You're saying even the higher institutes of learning, Brown and Yale and Harvard, you're saying they wouldn't even exist because those colleges were founded to train preachers? Pondering. Psalm 77 says, and I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. When's the last time you just thought about the things of God? When's the last time you just pondered your salvation? You know, if we would take the time to ponder our salvation, it might just change the way we look at things in life. Sunday's not the only time to ponder our salvation.
That's good.
When you're frustrated and you're ready to go crazy at work and quit your job and kill your boss and kick the cat, which I'm all for anyway, but any of those types of things, just ponder your salvation. Just think about how great God is to you. So I don't think that with everything going on. Really? You're not going to heaven one day? Your sins aren't all washed away? That song that Kevin Bowling sings, What Sin? What Sin? Is that our song? What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. I tell you what, all of a sudden that makes all of life's problems get a little bit lighter.
Amen.
Some weeded. Some weed. Let me give you this for my last point. This is a good one for all of us. Some witnessed. Go back to Luke chapter 2 here quickly. Luke chapter 2, look at verse number 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. All of God's people ought always be spreading the gospel to everybody they can. Shepherds are glorifying, praising God, thanking God. It's amazing if you saw it. Every time somebody had an encounter with Christ, they went and told somebody about it. All the time. Jesus even said, you know, keep it quiet. Don't tell them it was me. They couldn't help but speak the things that they'd seen and heard. At this Christmas season, when the hearts of the world are turned more towards Christ than normal, and they are, the hearts of God's people ought to be filled with love. And we ought to take extra opportunities to share the good news. I mean, honestly, you might get around family and, you know, they might be singing a Christmas song. Do you ever tell them to think about the words that they're singing? Understand, it's not a Christmas song. It's a song about Jesus Christ. We're so inundated with Santa Claus is coming to town and jingle bells. I even like the song the kids sang, Christmas Bells. Talking about Jesus, the Son of God. And I'm not opposed to Christmas songs. I love Christmas songs. I like all of them. I like Dominic the Donkey. I like the Hat I Got for Christmas Is Too Big. I mean, I haven't heard of those songs. I like all the Christmas songs. But I tell you what, there's something about Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Amen.
Joy to the world. And O Come Emmanuel. And oh, holy night. Something about those songs. Why? Because it's the birth of Christ.
Yes.
And today, this season, there are so many gifts that we're going to receive. And there are gifts that stand out in our minds, but there was a majestic gift. And that's the birth of Christ. Don't worry about it. Don't wander about it. Let's go witness about it. Let's go tell everybody about the birth of Christ.
Amen.
And the life of Christ. And the death of Christ.
Amen.
And the resurrection of Christ.
Amen.
And my favorite, the return of Christ.
Amen.
Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me ask you today, are you saved? Do you know for sure? Do you know for sure? If something were to happen to you today, and you were to slip off into eternity, Jesus Christ has forgiven you of your sins, given you a home in heaven, and is your Savior. You can say without any doubt, I stand before God today. God says, why should I let you in? I know because I've obeyed what the Word of God has said. Maybe today you're worried. Maybe today you're wondering. You don't have to anymore. Wonder if there's someone here today that would be honest by an upraised hand and say, "Preacher, I don't know for sure that I'm saved. But if somebody could take the Bible and show me that today I want to accept the Lord as my personal Savior today." If that's you, would you slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure, but I'd like to know." Anyone at all? Going to church doesn't save you, nor does a denominational tag save you. The shed blood of Jesus Christ does and has. Second question, I wonder how many people today would say, "Preacher, that truly is the most majestic gift that I've ever received, is Jesus Christ. And I want to, in turn, be the Christian that I'm supposed to be and sharing that gift." Not questioning Him, wondering about Him, or worrying about Him, but just witnessing about Him. As we get ready to go into a new year, 2013, my hope and prayer for this church is that we would just have a mindset of greater faith, stronger walks with God, more opportunities to be the Christian that God has called us to be. The piano begins to play. The Holy Spirit's dealing with your heart today. If you want to come forward and spend some time in prayer, maybe it's just to ask the Lord to help you to stay focused on the main thing. The main thing here today is not gifts. The main thing this Christmas season isn't even family. The main thing is Jesus Christ. Thank you.